But I have a question for you this morning. Are there areas in your life where you have become spiritually sluggish? You know, are there areas in your life that that you're resisting God's call to grow in your faith? And I would say, don't let complacency keep you from a deeper fellowship with Him. We can all, it doesn't matter how long you've served in the church, whether you're a new believer or you've been a believer for 40 years, we all go through valleys, we go through mountaintops, we go through dry lands. Charles Stanley once said, spiritual maturity does not come by accident. It's a daily choice that we seek the Lord. It's a daily choice that we read the Bible, right? We read the scripture. It's a daily choice that we get on our knees and pray. It's a daily choice. You want to grow closer to Christ and have a deeper walk of faith. You want your faith to be stronger than what it is, then seek the Lord. Read the scriptures. Hear His voice. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3 says this, "For I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields." Different translation. "For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Isaiah spoke to a people who had experienced exile and judgment and distance from God, and yet he proclaims a prophetic promise of refreshing, revival, and restoration. Amen? In Hebrews, the word, or in the Hebrew, the word pour out, it speaks of a lavish abundance of outpouring, not just a little bit of water, but like a flood of gushing water over a dry land. At those parched fields, it speaks of a fruitfulness, of sometimes of unfruitfulness, an unproductive spiritual season that happens in your life. I know, I've experienced those moments in my life. This message speaks to me. God promises us, though, transformation, renewal, rekindling, holy fire. But dryness, sometimes through that, can become very fertile. And this is not just about water, but it's about the Holy Spirit. Hear me. It's about the Holy Spirit in your life. It's about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, about the outpouring of water and Spirit in God's sovereign work, but it comes to those who are thirsty. And did you come thirsty? Are you thirsty for God this morning? Just like the land needs rain, our souls need the Holy Spirit. God knows when you're dry, though. He does. He knows everything. And when you're dry, you know what He does? He provides living water. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. It said, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. Amen? Everyone. Not just a few. Jesus cries out, he's in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, a moment that's really rich with symbolism. If you read that, the feast celebrated God's provision in the wilderness. And that's where he gave water to the Israelites when out of the rock. You remember that? Now Jesus says, then here, I am the source of that water. That Greek word living water, it's not stagnant water. It's not stale religion, but flowing and vibrant, life-giving spirit. And if you feel spiritually dry, and I would say, come to Jesus this morning. Let's have a come to Jesus moment, right? Let the power of the Holy Spirit refresh your soul. Fill you. Quench your thirst. You know, it's not about religion. We can get caught up in religious things. It's not about Nazarenes. It's not about Baptists. It's not about any of those denominations. It's about Jesus. He's the source of living water. Max Lucado, you ever read one of Max Lucado's books? He writes some pretty good stuff. He said this once, God never said the journey would be easy, but he did say the arrival would be worth it. Amen. You think heaven's worth it? Huh? You know, in dry seasons, we got to remember that God does not abandon us. He doesn't abandon you. He offers refreshments for the journey. You know, you think about a dry sponge and how it just soaks up water instantly. It softens it and expands, doesn't it? It gets bigger. That's what happens when we let the Holy Spirit saturate our hearts. It soaks it up. Expands, it gets bigger, it gets softer. These hard hearts that we can sometimes have that get calloused from this world we live in, especially dealing with people. People will callous you. This world will bring calluses to your heart, it'll harden your heart. It'll make you not love people so much. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives all the time to keep our hearts soft and filled. We can be transformed. When something stops moving, you know, when an engine quits moving, we, you know, stops moving all of a sudden, I say it's stuck, you know? It's stuck. I almost referred to it as something different because, you know, when something's not in a forward movement, when it ceases to move, you think of the word stuck, but my mind, it always, I don't know why. And I almost thought, I was thinking about constipation. I don't know why. I figure you guys get a kick out of that one. Instead of stuck, you know. And maybe this will stick in your minds a little bit better. Okay. Old people got it. Because, you know, I think about this because I know a lot of spiritually constipated people. They're stuck. They're stuck either in their religion or they're stuck in their just, they're not moving, you know? And things got to move, right? Right? Daily. Okay. I'm going to get through this here in a second. We need some Holy Spirit Miralax. Okay. I know that seems comical, and I'm glad that we can laugh together because, but we know the reality of it is true. And all of us can experience that at times, right? In both ways, both examples. But I want to get back to the stuck instead of, you know. Stuck is when forward movement ceases. And you can be attending church, you can be reading your Bible occasionally, even praying, but inside you feel like you're not growing. Do you ever feel like that, well, I'm not being fed? Do you ever feel like that, well, I'm just, something's missing in my life? I'm going to church, I'm reading, I'm praying, but something's just missing. Something feels off. You know, in Exodus chapter 14 and 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to just get moving." That's basically what he says. Then the Lord said, "Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Get going." You know, Israel was trapped. They'd left Egypt. God had delivered them out of Egypt, and then they come to the Red Sea. And they're like, oh no, what are we going to do now? After all the things that they'd already seen, and now they're stuck, right? They're not moving. And they're crying out, and God says, why you just move on? And then we know that, you know, Moses directed them to get moving, and the Red Sea parted, and they traveled across. And you know, I think about when we're stuck, we don't need more fear. We don't need more excuses or even more delay. We just need to step out in faith and cross the Red Seas in our life. We just keep moving, right? We just have to trust and obey. And, you know, you ever seen a stagnant pool of water? You know, that stagnation is when growth stops, but motion remains sometimes. You might be serving or discipling, but not thriving. Boy, that, man, I've been there. Let me tell you. It's like a pond with no fresh flow of water, and the water may look good for a while. You've been in a small pond, but then when a dry season comes, it starts to get this algae and this film on top of it. And if it's dry enough long enough, sometimes it will turn over, right? Anybody ever experienced that in a pond? And guess what happens? All the fish will die. That's what happens when things get stagnant. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, it says, I know all the things that you do. Man, that's nice. God knows all the things that you do, right? Remember that. He knows all your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish you were either one or the other. But since, or because, you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Wow. You know, we think about that lukewarm, that the Greek word there used is tasteless and unappealing. And the reason he says that is because the church in Laodicea, they lived in a place where they had no fresh water. And they had to pipe it in. And if you've ever watched anything on There's several documentaries on the churches, the seven churches, and they show these long aqueducts that they had built from the north, where they brought water in from springs, and it crossed through the desert and all this and all the way to Laodicea. And by the time it got there, it was fed by these mineral springs, okay, they bubbled up out of the ground. And by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm, and it was just not really good tasting water. And that's why this scripture, he uses the scripture because they would have understood that. Their water wasn't really that good. And he says, I just, because you're not hot or cold, because you're just lukewarm, you're just, I don't know, you're useless to me, really. I'd rather you be one or the other, because at least if you're hot, man, then I know, you're doing things for me. But if you're cold, I know I got hope to bring you back. That makes sense. Jesus addresses the Laodicean church, and it is a wealthy place. The city was very wealthy. It was self-sufficient, and yet it was spiritually useless to him. And Jesus wants hot hearts or refreshing lives, and not just half-hearted Christians. I know this is a hard truth. It talks about laziness in the scripture too. You know that? About being lazy Christians. In the New Testament, it talks strongly about that. It says to encourage and spur each other along. Call out those who are not really working. I want to keep my job, so I don't want to offend anybody here, right? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Not offend you or not say, I'm going to preach around things that might hurt your feelings. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Forgive me. But the truth hurts sometimes. It hurts me sometimes because I'm like, wow, man, Lord, I've got to step it up, Step it up spiritually. Hear me. Because it's not about your deeds, right? But faith without works is dead too, right? It's not about our good deeds. I mean, we can do good things, and there are a lot of good people in here, but it's not about being a good person, is it? It's about being spiritually filled with the Holy Spirit. It's about serving Christ, because why? Because he died for you, and you know that, and you love him because of it. It's not about doing it because you just kind of know this is what you're supposed to do. I do this. I come to church because that's just because that's what I'm supposed to do. No. You don't just go to church because that's what you're supposed to do. You go to church because you love Jesus and you want to serve him in every way. And the Holy Spirit draws you to do that work. It's not because you're forced by me or the church to do something. We got a lot of things we don't do, right? We've always heard that old saying, we don't smoke, drink, or chew, or go with girls that do. Right? That's what we're told, right? I remember a time when Nazarenes, good Nazarenes, didn't go watch movies. Wasn't allowed to, right? That's what good Nazarenes did. Those shady Nazarenes, or the closet Nazarenes, they'd go sneak out and watch shows. We didn't do that. We don't drink, right? Don't do that. There's a lot of things Nazarenes don't do. But it's not the don't do it that's put on by the church. It's the don't do and being obedient to Jesus that matters the most. You're obedient to him because of his obedience to his Father. You know, being comfort can kill you, you know? It can kill your calling, it can kill your spiritual life. I mean, there's just so many things we can use to was one I read. It says you don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. I read that. I didn't make that up. That's good, isn't it? Sometimes God allows, I think sometimes stagnation to show us that we're trying to live without living water. You try to live without the Holy Spirit in your life, and that's when our soul is parched. And this is more than just stuck or stagnant. It's a dehydration of the soul. You ever been dehydrated? In Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, "O God, you are my God, and I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water." Man. David wrote that when he was in the wilderness. And yet, even in the desert, his thirst drove him to God, not from him, but to him. So when you're dry, you don't run from God, right? You go to him. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8 says, "They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." NLT translation. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the streams, and it does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Man, that's a good scripture, isn't it? God wants your roots deep and not just feeling, not just having good feelings on Sunday, but every day of the week and every part of your life. The ultimate refreshing of our souls is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit into your heart. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet still sinners." And in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 says, "Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day." Is that not enough? You know, we can even bear fruit during droughtful times if we stay connected and filled with the Spirit. The gospel is not just our entry point, it's our lifeline. And it's living water for our souls, not just every now and then, but every day. How many of you drink every day? No, I'm not talking about drink, drink, drink. I'm talking about water, tea, soda pop, coffee. I'm a coffee drinker. Coffee and water. I can live on it in Jesus. It's all I need. It's all I need. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says this. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's it say before that? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, not the spirits, right? Why does he say that? Keep a clear mind. So what are you saying? Keep your mind focused on Christ and not on all this garbage in the world that we tend to get caught up in. We have to examine ourselves. We have to repent. Repent. We live a life of repentance, don't we? And we have to come to Jesus and drink of the water that he supplies. And then we have to just move in obedience. Amen? Then we have to be filled and invite the Holy Spirit into our lives every day. Every day. And I hope that's your desire today. I hope that your desire is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To step out in faith. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I know I've been through some dry lands before in my life. And I know many that are here this morning have too. And Lord, I just pray right now for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit that will quench the thirst of those that are dry. Lord, let us not leave here today without receiving your Spirit. Lord, let us be transformed. Let us be filled. And let us leave here better than we came. Lord, I praise you. I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.